you to step up to the plate, lace on your cleats, and buckle up your chin strap. This is the Sports Fix at 6. Your chance to win today's prize from 99.1 The Sports Animal.
To hour number 4 of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. A lot coming your way before we step aside at 7 o'clock. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Picks at 6. And Jimmy, there's one heck of a prize up for grabs tonight.
Absolutely. We've got a $25 gift card to Fairways and Greens Golf Center. You've heard the saying, practice made perfect? Well, that's where it came from. Fairways and Greens, located in West Knoxville, the South's premier golf practice, instructional, club fitting, social gathering, and entertainment facility. They are committed to creating an environment where you can enjoy the fun and the social elements of golf. They also have the Top Tracer Lounge, the only one of its kind in East Tennessee. And I tell you what, if you want to improve your game, go to Fairways and Greens. And we're going to give you a $25 gift card to Fairways and Greens if you can answer this trivia question. So we've seen a projection in which Keon Johnson could be going with the number 7 overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft. Tennessee has had two players taken in the top 7 of the NBA draft. Name those two. Tennessee has had two players taken in the top 7 overall in the first round of the NBA draft. Name those two.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Toby. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Toby.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Is this all-time NBA, or is it in a certain period of time?
Well, it's all-time NBA, but from 1960 forward.
Okay. All right, so I'll go with Bernard King and...
Good start.
I'm drawing a blank. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I can see him. It's been the last 10 years. I just cannot remember the guy's name, so hopefully that helps somebody. We'll go with Allen Houston.
It's not Allen Houston. Allen was a pretty high draft pick. In fact, he was number 11, but not in the top 7.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Toby, we sure do appreciate it. Let's go next to Jeff. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. Good. Hope you're doing fine.
Yes, sir. All right. We'll go Bernard King, and let's go with Tobias Harris.
It's not Tobias Harris. That's another good guess. But Harris was picked number 19 in the first round.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Sure do appreciate it. It's Jeremy who joins us next. Hello, Jeremy.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Would it be Bernard King and, let's see, Boerwinkle?
Boerwinkle, yes.
Tom Boerwinkle?
Tom Boerwinkle. He was the number 4 pick of the NBA draft in 1968, and Bernard King was the number 7 pick in 1977. Bernard King, Tom Boerwinkle, the only two Vols taken in the top 7 of the NBA draft. Good job, Jeremy. You've won a $25 gift card to Fairways and Greens. Congratulations to you. We're going to put you on hold and get that gift card to you. Good job.
Thanks.
All right. Well done. That was both feet behind the line and swish from three. But, Jeremy, hang on the line so we can get your prize information. And no doubt about it, he should make the very most out of what is an outstanding opportunity to go to Fairways and Greens. But that takes care of today's Sports Fix at 6.
John, a few other notes I want to pass along. I think this is really interesting. The Kentucky Senate has passed a bill, 36-0, allowing high school seniors to stay and play another year. Colleges are doing it, and now Kentucky is proposing that. Now, there have been some states in which they did not have high school football, for example, or some of the high school sports. I think that's interesting. I'm not sure. Would you? So what if you've got a guy that's now he's going to be 19 years old playing in high school, and then that impacts his eligibility going forward in college? It's interesting. I don't know. What do you think about that proposal?
I agree that, Jimmy, it is so well-intentioned because I feel for so many high school seniors and all that they've encountered in terms of those that were class of 20 as well as those class of 21 because the effects have been far-reaching. I just don't think that you can put that toothpaste back in the tube simply for the fact that I can't imagine that they're going to have to attend class like it would be if indeed it was a graduate student, somebody who had years of eligibility left in college, but as long as you take graduate courses, you're A-OK. So I can't imagine they would still be taking up room in a classroom. And so I'm not exactly sure how you manage that, just to give somebody that extra year of eligibility, because I just can't imagine how they would fill their day. And, I mean, would they be eligible still to do that in high school if – I mean, for instance, you see so many. You hear the commercials that say only 10% of college graduates go on to play professional sports, if that much. But what if somebody is finished with their career in high school and so they just enroll in college as a student and aren't pursuing their athletic career or trying to further it? Do you have somebody who is a college student that's allowed to play high school ball? Again, I think there's great intention behind it. I just think that it's completely impractical.
I do, too. I think it's difficult. I do feel for those that might have been a high school football player who was a late bloomer, mm-hmm. who doesn't get a scholarship
yes.
to play because he was not recognized and he came along late and people weren't able to see what he's able to do. For that guy, he may have to start at a smaller school. For that guy, he may have to go junior college. Now, here's the good thing about going junior college, though. If you're a qualifier and you go junior college, then you don't have to go but 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then for 1 year, you can go directly. So if you go to junior college and prove right away that you're a good running back, quarterback, offensive lineman, defensive back, et cetera, then you can go immediately to college, and that could be a benefit there. So I think it's an interesting proposal that Kentucky has, but I think the practical implication or implementation
yes.
would be very difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. I again feel for those because just think the dead period in terms of visits and things like that extends through the end of May, and look how long that's been in place. By the time we get to the end of this May, then that will be a grand total of 15 months since all of this got shut down. And so many athletes, boys and girls alike, will have missed out on opportunities just to get noticed in their prospective sport or the opportunity to go to, I mean, camps have been so far diminished. Now, as you mentioned earlier that Karen Weekly joined a Zoom call earlier this morning or a virtual call to talk about what's all been out there. There are some states that have gone on, especially like travel ball, for sports like baseball and softball. Mm-hmm. It's like there was never anything out of sorts at all that you were dealing with. And you hope that they've been able to see the cream rise to the top in those opportunities. But I do hope much more sooner rather than later that you will have the opportunity for some of these athletes that didn't find the spotlight when they were playing to somehow get to showcase their skills for spots that could be available for them in their respective sports.
Do you think other states will adopt a similar bill as the Kentucky one?
I think others might consider it, and some may even go as far as adopting it, but I still think that it really doesn't seem possible and logistically possible to somehow work with people that are beyond their time at high school still being able to compete as high school athletes.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think there may be another state or two that does it, but I don't think it's going to be widespread.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with more as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
credibility, honesty, and a dedication to bring you the sports information you deserve each afternoon. This is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
Let's now hear from Rodney Garner, Tennessee's new defensive line coach. This is his second tenure at Tennessee. He was on the nation Sunday night with Chris Lowe and with Austin Price. Here are comments from Rodney Garner.
First of all, it's great to have you back in Knoxville on Rocky Top. Great to have you on the show. I know, having talked to you over the years, and Kim, I know you guys loved your time here back in the late 90s. What's it like for you 24 years later to be back at Tennessee?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, and I've shared it with you, Chris, you know, I feel extremely blessed to have this opportunity. Very grateful to Coach Hype for giving me the opportunity to come back. And like I shared with him, I really believe in Tennessee, and it really doesn't matter, you know, what, you know, clouds are hanging over our head. I feel like we have an opportunity to compete and win at a high level at University of Tennessee.
And Rodney, you know, you go back as a player, assistant coach in the SEC to 1987, is that right?
Your first year, 84.
You've been in the SEC every step of the way. I think you've been a part of six conference championships as a player or an assistant coach at three different schools, correct? Georgia, Tennessee, and Auburn. So you know this conference like the back of your hand. If Tennessee is going to get back to where it was when you were here in the late 90s, what are the things that have to happen?
Well, like I told Coach Hike, and I think he's made tremendous strides in doing that. We just need to hire a staff that believed in UT, that everybody was pulling in the same direction. Everybody checked their egos and their agendas at the door. And everything that we do every day is about the T. And that's the beginning and the end, you know.
Hey, Coach Garner, it's Austin. Just take me through walking in the door for the first time in over 20 years. I know parts of the building look the same, but it's changed so much since you were last here. And did you drive around campus, kind of get a feel for, you know, what it's like being back around here?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Hype's a grinder. So I told my wife, I think I've been here 3 weeks, and I've probably seen daylight twice. So I hadn't really had a whole lot of time to drive around. But when you come into this facility, it's just so impressive. And that's the thing that, like I tell everybody, you know, when a young man and their families come on our campus, they're going to see the commitment from Tennessee to have a championship program. These facilities are second to none, and I'm very, you know, very impressed. And just, you know, we just got to build this thing the right way, build it with the right foundation. And Coach Hype, you know, he believes in hard work, and you know, we're grinding every day for greatness. And that's what we're trying to get our kids to buy into, too.
Tennessee fans, they clamored to have you come back for years and years and years. You had such a great reputation from your first time here. How are you a different coach now than you were your first go-around in Knoxville, though? How have you grown?
Well, I hope I'm a better coach. You know, obviously, you know, that's what we all aspire to be. You know, we all want to be masters of our craft. So, you know, I'm always constantly trying to learn, you know, going to meet with different coaches and, you know, in NFL and just trying to, you know, hone my skills so I can become a better teacher and I can come back and teach my players. You know, I hope I've grown in that area. And, you know, obviously recruiting is, you know, has changed a lot. Especially with the, you know, evolution of social media. You know, the one thing I'm blessed to say is that, you know, Tennessee is a great product. and it was a product back in the late 90s that was easy to sell, and I think it's an even better product now. And so I'm excited about going out into the schools and going into the homes with that Power T on my chest.
Hey, Rodney, it's Chris again. You know, it's no secret to Tennessee. If you're going to win championships and play for championships, you got to go in. Yeah, you got to recruit kids in the state, but you got to go into Georgia. You got to go into the Carolinas. I think about the team that you had a big part in assembling back in 98. You think, look at the makeup of that team. A lot of kids from Georgia, the Carolinas, down in Louisiana, certainly the state of Tennessee, but all the states surrounding the state of Tennessee. As you go out now, and you're selling, you mentioned the team. What is sort of your message to those kids, their coaches, their families, about what you guys are building in Tennessee?
Well, you know, obviously you sell the history and the tradition, which, you know, is very impressive. So even though I know there's been some tough times, you know, here lately, you know, UT is still a very, very desirable product. You know, with the resources that are available to us, you know, when we go out there on Saturday, you know, we have an opportunity to compete, and we have an opportunity to compete at a high level. You know, some people can talk about championships, but, you know, at UT, you actually have an opportunity to win championships. And we just got to get the young men to believe in what we're doing, and get them all pulling in the same direction, because I think that was one of the things that we were able to do when I was here the last time. We had the guys working together, and we had that great chemistry and that great camaraderie, and that's what Coach Hype's trying to build now.
Coach, in following your career, whether it be here or from afar, it appears that you've always been a big relationship guy in recruiting, whether it be with family or the prospect. How much do you kind of welcome getting back open as being able to recruit, go out on the road? You talk about wearing the Power T into a school. You've not been able to do that in over a year as far as wearing any logo into a school with the dead period. How much do you welcome that, and how much do you feel like that maybe hurts a new staff because they're not able to go out and you know, see kids face-to-face or have kids come to campus?
Well, you know, I think it's been tough on everybody, you know, doing all the virtual recruiting. You know, it's something that's different, and you know, I'm excited, and I think everyone is excited, you know, hoping that we can get back to some sense of normalcy soon, because there's no secret, you know, we're behind as a new staff, but we're working day and night trying to catch up, you know, doing Zoom presentations, Zoom calls, we're doing virtual tours, and we're doing those almost daily. And what we're trying to sell to these young men and their families, hey, just give us an opportunity. Be patient. I promise you, we're gonna put a product on the field that's gonna be very competitive. It's gonna be a great environment that you're gonna want to have your sons in. That we're gonna invest in them to win championships, but not just on the field, but in life in general. You know, we want them to be champions in the classroom. We want them to be champions on the field in all areas of their life. And so I think they're going to like the men that Coach Hype has put together as a staff, that every one of these men to a man, I think they see this as their ministry, and they really want to invest in these young men.
Comments from Rodney Garner, Tennessee's new defensive line coach. A couple of other notes. John, the Minnesota Vikings have released 10-year veteran tight end Kyle Rudolph. He's available. I don't think he'll be on the market very long. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think he's somebody that should get snapped up immediately. Now, as soon as I say that, I do think it's going to be interesting to see, because so many veterans are going to be let go and cut because of the smaller salary cap, that I wonder if this is going to be something that it serves teams better to be patient as opposed to those that jump immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder who else in the tight end category will wind up being made available. But I don't think there's any question. Kyle Rudolph, very capable and could really give somebody a helping hand. And so I do think for those reasons there will be interest shown immediately.
Louisville Virginia Tech basketball game canceled. Virginia Tech having issues with COVID. Also, the Pac-12 is returning to non-conference matchups. They will kick off their season August the 28th with Hawaii versus UCLA. And then a Clemson defensive back who a really good player, Darian Kendrick, he said he was not going to return to Clemson. So some people thought, well, he's going to go to the NFL supplemental draft. Well, he's going into the transfer portal. That's unusual. Not completely, but it's unusual to see somebody from Clemson that's played and has done well entering the portal. Now, they've had some other players that were highly rated that weren't playing much and left, but here's a guy that's leaving Clemson to go into the transfer portal. He's a cornerback. We'll see where he winds up, but interesting situation there with a Clemson player.
Oh, yeah, and you don't see many hit the door there, but just examining and exploring, I guess, opportunities. And I do wonder, with the fact that we've seen so many do it here, you know that others are doing it elsewhere. Are there going to be enough spots for everybody that's in the transfer portal to find what they hope to find?
The better you are, the more spots there are available.
That's true. Very true. So,
and one other quick note, Rachel Heck, she is a golfer from Memphis and was one of the top players in the state. She's played in tournaments around this area. She won her second tournament. She decided to go out to Stanford, and she won her second tournament as a college player, shooting 11 under par. I just thought that was worth noting, a player from the state of Tennessee going to Stanford and having a great second tournament and winning it. So congratulations to Rachel Heck.
Very much so. That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with more as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Now back to more of the most trusted sports information on the air. Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hyams on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900.
Let's hear now from Rick Barnes, Tennessee head coach. So after the Auburn loss, got a couple of comments I want to bring along to you. He was asked, how much of an adjustment is it going to be for Tennessee to have a big gap between playing Saturday against Auburn and then Sunday against Florida?
Well, we're going to have to. We're going to have to get back and see if we can just, again, it's really hard to talk about competitive fire when you don't feel like your whole team is bringing it. And I didn't think that today, which is as we've talked more about that as much as anything of any team that we've coached since we've been in Tennessee. And I don't understand the inconsistencies because there's enough guys that played enough basketball right now. But this week, we've got to go back and take a good hard look, all of us, everybody in the program, like, what can I do on my hat, on my part, to make this program what it should be, what we expect from it, and see what we can use this week to get better.
Barnes was asked, how hard does it make his job when the most mentally tough players are freshmen?
Oh, it's the hardest thing you do. You're talking about when you see your team and you don't think you're it's one of the hardest things in coaches to accept, period. It's just hard to accept. And does it make you feel good? It almost makes you sick on your stomach.
Now, Rick Barnes was available today with the media, and it was really interesting what he said about John Fulkerson. Fulkerson certainly has not had the year that he would like to have, and he finished the year strong last year, started out pretty good this year, but he's kind of been mired in a slump. So Rick Barnes was asked a few questions about his senior center forward. Here's Rick Barnes on John Fulkerson.
Rick, is there anything you can share about your conversations with Fulky about going through senior day? Because I imagine the past month or so is not the film he wants to be putting out there for people. Where is he in his decision-making process?
What are you asking me about?
About next season, like if he wants to come back.
Again, I said earlier, that's stuff that will be talked about later on. I mean, they have options. I mean, Fulky could – I mean, he's got options. He could come back here. He could transfer to another school. He could choose to go the professional route. But I don't think he's thinking about that right now. I don't think he's thinking. I think John Fulkerson is so locked in on what, because he, like all of us, he wants to help us win. That's all he cares about. Again, Yeah, people have called me and said, well, he hasn't had the kind of year that we thought he might have. Well, he knows that too, but he's never made it about himself. All, if you sit down and talk to him and get and have a deep conversation with him, I don't care if it would be me or anybody else, he's going to say, Coach, all I want to do is win. And whatever I can do to help this team win, that's what I want to do. And that's where I think his thought process is. I think that's where I think I like to think everybody's thought process is.
How tough has this been on him? Because I know you talk about all the time how much he cares, and I think anyone who knows him knows that's probably the truth. But how tough has that made this on him?
What I'd ask you, how tough do you think it's been on him? Because you guys know him.
I'd imagine.
You know how much he cares. You know how much he loves this university. You know how much he loves his teammates. You know that it's never, ever been about him, ever. I mean, ever has been about him. And when you have high expectations and you don't live up to them as an individual or as a team, there's disappointments. And but it's not over until it's over. And that's why, again, everybody, some people act like we're going to write him out of the script. He's not going to be written out of the script. He's not. And because he's been too loyal. He's worked too hard. And don't think people aren't watching how we handle this whole deal with when a senior. I've been through it with seniors. I've been through it with really good players that struggle. But one thing you don't do, you always talk about never quitting, never giving up. And I don't think you can ever quit or ever give up on a player, ever. And especially when you have one that has been as loyal as John has been and has been as good a teammate as you could ever be around. And but you ask the question, does deep down inside, you know what bothers him? He has to deal with it. He has to deal with you guys asking. He has to deal with everybody talking about it. But I can tell you this. I don't know if anybody's handled it any better because he's had a tough time. But it's not because of his want to or his willingness. He's dealt with some injuries. His hand was hurt, really hurt, but he kept playing. He dealt with that early in the year. He got sick. He dealt with that. And so he's dealt with a lot. It hadn't been a smooth year from a physical standpoint for John. But I can tell you, we're not ever going to quit on him because he's never going to quit on us.
Rick Barnes on John Fulkerson, a very strong comments from the Tennessee head coach in particular, that you never give up on a player ever. And still showing confidence in John Fulkerson.
Yeah, not surprising because, just think how long that Coach Barnes has pushed and encouraged Fulkerson to be the best player that he can be. And you know that he hates to see somebody with as much experience go through the issues and the struggles that he's had in terms of just trying to get back on track with what we saw as all conference level performance last year in helping Tennessee make that push down the stretch. Would have been something to see if Tennessee would have indeed made the NCAA tournament. I think they would have had to do something in Nashville in the SEC tournament to punch their ticket, but they wouldn't have had a shot without how well he played down the stretch.
That's exactly right. And so we'll see how what happens over these next few games. I actually think that that it's going to be better for Tennessee to not play. I'm kind of in the Mark Pankratz camp on that one. I think they probably need to regroup. They probably need to practice a little bit, just get away from the game a little bit. Maybe that'll refresh them a little bit. Maybe it'll get some negative thoughts out of their mind and then come back against Florida. But and if I had an option, if I were the coach and they said, hey, you could go add another game and go play Cincinnati, I'd say no, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna refresh. I'm gonna practice. I'm gonna work on things. I'm gonna try to instill some confidence in this group and try to make sure we better communicate. So I think that this open midweek comes at a good time for this basketball team.
Well, let's see. 656-9900 is how you join us. 656-9900. That puts you on Sports Talk.
And then another note, and you touched on this, but the SEC tournament in Nashville, 20% capacity, 3,400 people will be able to go. They will be enforcing face coverings. There will be no bag policy. So they're still going to be really careful about what they do there. But it is going to be odd just to have that few people there. But, John, I guess having 3,400 people there is better than none. And some of those, I'm sure, are going to be family and boosters and so forth like that. But I do think allowing some fans in there is better than completely shutting it out.
Yeah, and it is a shame that you don't have the walk-up crowd, the public sales that are available. Each school can obviously sell to their fans and prioritize who gets to attend. So you and I guess that would mean that there could be a secondary market for available tickets depending on who gets knocked out when. But it is going to take a little getting used to, but it is better to have some rather than none.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, and I tell you what, let's go ahead and hear now from Kelly Harper. We're going to run her comment where she talks about some of the player awards. Some of the Lady Vols received a number of awards today. And then she talks a little bit about what happened with last year's SEC tournament. Here comments from Kelly Harper.
Coach, in terms of your players being honored, Renaya Davis making the first team, Ray Burrell second team, and then have Marta, all freshmen, also had another play on the all-defensive team. How do you see this accomplishment by your players, you know, showing how I think was good regular season, have players honored on the SEC honors?
Well, when you look at the list, I mean, what a talented list of all-conference players, both first and second team. And I think our two definitely deserve to be on that. I think they did a terrific job this year, had the stats to back it up. But there are a lot of really good players. I'm also really proud that Tamari Key was on the all defensive team. I think very well deserving honor for her. I'm really excited for Marta, you know, to be in that freshman team. Unfortunately her season doesn't look like we thought it was going to based on her injury, but I think people noticed there.
Kelly, I know we want to focus like in the moment here, but it was a year ago at this point where, you know, the SEC tournament was the last basketball you all would have for quite some time. When you think back to that time frame, finding out the NCAA tournament was going to be canceled, how do you remember that? And how do you reflect on the importance of basketball, how grateful you are for it now?
Yeah, you know, we talk about that every now and then. We'll talk about how grateful we are to get to play because obviously we saw how quickly it could be taken away. I think when I think back to last year, the biggest part for me is the lack of closure that we had, not having the NCAA tournament. And, obviously when we played our final game, we had the anticipation that we were going to be playing more basketball. So it was just awkward, really. And then it was so fast. Everything happened so quickly. And, it really never felt like last year ended. It just felt like last year kind of blended into the summer. That's really what it felt like for me. And, I'm looking forward to taking this team not only to the SEC tournament, but to the NCAA tournament and giving them a chance and seeing what we can do.
Interesting perspective from Kelly Harper about it's like last season never ended. It's like unfinished business. So we'll see if the Lady Vols can take advantage of what they got going on right now. John, I like where they are. I think they've played good basketball. They've been more consistent. They have gone toe-to-toe with some highly ranked teams in the country. They've played 10 ranked teams. They've won four of those games. And they've got some really good wins under their belt, including wins over South Carolina and Indiana. So I like where this team is, and I like where they are heading into the SEC tournament.
I do as well, and I think that you've got an inspired team that's playing hard, and I also think that you're going to likely see one of the big matchups before you get to the semifinals, and that's Tennessee and Arkansas. I think that could be a whale of a ball game when they, I think, meet Friday, because Arkansas has to play Ole Miss on Thursday, but Arkansas is playing awfully good basketball right now.
They sure are. We talked about those 19 threes they hit the other day, which is an SEC record. They've come along as well. They got a really good basketball team, one of the best teams in the SEC right now with the momentum they have.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
Just a bit outside.
We are 99.1 The Sports Animal.
final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
Let's run a part two from Rodney Garner. Tennessee defensive line coach was on The Nation with Chris Lowe, Austin Price, Sunday night. Here are comments from Coach Garner.
Rodney, it's Chris again. You know, as I look at the makeup of your defensive staff, I know you and Tim Banks go back a ways. You know each other. You've coached with Willie before. You know, what do you like? And is it, you talked earlier about chemistry and guys rolling in the same direction. But I also like the fact that there's some diversity, guys who've coached in different places, in different conferences. Yeah, experience in the SEC is important, but you got guys coming from different places, and now you're sort of putting all that together. How important will that be going forward, Rodney?
I think it's going to be really important, and I think Hype has given people the opportunity to bring different ideas to the table. And ultimately, you know, it's his decision on which direction we're going to go. But it's the same way with Coach Banks. You know, I've never had the opportunity to work with Tim, but I've known him for a long time, and I've admired his work. You know, Tim's got a great body of work of being a coordinator, and you know, he's worked in the Big Ten with a great body of work there, and you know, he has a great reputation as a defensive play caller and also as a recruiter. And then, you know, me and Willie, we worked together for about 10 years at a previous spot. You know, Willie's a very knowledgeable coach. He does a great job of developing defensive backs. He also has coordinator experience in this conference. And then BJ, you know, I've known BJ a long time. I got to know him when he was at Georgia Tech. And I've, you know, been around him a lot on the recruiting trail. And he's a very sharp, bright, young coach. And I think he brings a lot to the table. And so, you know, I'm just excited to be a part of this. And we're, like Coach Banks always likes to say, you know, we're building our system, you know, from the ground up right now. And, you know, we're having fun in that meeting room. We're going 7 days a week just trying to work on that install and develop an identity for our guys and get them to buy into that and what we're going to sell.
Coach, when you look, it's not been realistically that long since Tennessee last played a football game or you last coached a football game, but so much has happened both for you personally and then for Tennessee as a program. Do you really kind of welcome the chance to get back out for spring practice in a few weeks and just coach? Just start, you know, developing and molding and doing what you know how to do?
Oh, it's going to be fun. That's the thing I was telling the guys in the room, too. And that's the great thing about football. You know, you get a chance to check all your problems at the door, go out there on that field and compete, have fun, and just try to get better. And it's just a great refuge. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting time. You know, I think we're scheduled to start practice somewhere around March 22nd. And I'm just looking forward to working with my guys. You know, we got an opportunity to go out there last week and work on the field with them, and it was really exciting. And it was good to see how the guys were dialed in and very attentive. And they're yearning. They want to be good. And they're holding on to every little detail, and they're taking coaching. They're being very coachable. So, you know, I'm excited about where we can take this thing to.
Well, Rodney, man, we're going to get you out here in a minute. I can't tell you enough how much we appreciate you being on the show, and great to have you back here. I tell you what, man, the Garner family has grown significantly since the last time you were in Knoxville.
Bree was
born in Knoxville, correct?
Yeah, Bree was born in Knoxville. She was born at Fort Sanders. And you know, obviously when we left UT, we had two daughters, and now we have six. So I can say, yeah, we have grown a little bit.
And all of them, I want to point this out, Rodney, all of them are very good athletes. I'm glad they get their athletic ability from your lovely wife, Kim.
I don't know. I think that would be debatable, Chris. You know, I was a good athlete back in the day.
I've got two daughters, and bless you. Bless you. Six. I can't imagine having any more like I got my second one.
All right, I'll rephrase that, Rodney. I'll say this. Thank goodness they get their looks. from their mom.
Yeah, How about that? Yeah, they may got their look. That's
okay. Well, man, it's been a lot of fun having you on and reminiscing, and we certainly look forward to catching up with you down the road, Rodney. And you tell Kim and your girls we said hello. And it's good to have the Garner family back on Rocky Top.
Well, we're glad to be here. Go Balls.
Comments from Rodney Garner. Now, John, Tennessee taking on Austin Peay. We talked about that yesterday, but they're going to be heading to Clarksville tomorrow for a 5:30 first pitch, correct?
That's right, 5:30 Eastern time, 4:30 local time, and it's going to be something. I mean, you talk about being able to zig when the season zags. That's exactly what's going on. Dayton informed the coach yesterday that they weren't coming, and so now Tennessee able to hit the road and go to Clarksville to take on the Governors. It's been a bit of a struggle for Austin Peay to get going this season, but they'll be no doubt excited to have the Volunteers at their place.
Do we know what Tennessee's going to do with the pitching rotation?
That's what I was looking for right this minute, and I don't see an announced starter. Oh, yeah, it'll be Camden Sewell getting the start for Tennessee. Luke Brown will get the ball for the Governors.
And in Tennessee, how good do you think Indiana State was when Tennessee split with that team?
Well, I thought they fought hard. They played well. Their numbers wouldn't have been something that would have really impressed you, but they sure did play above what their numbers were, both hitting and pitching-wise.
Yeah, we'll see how Tennessee does. You mentioned it earlier, but we've got several SEC games on tab tonight. Auburn and Alabama, Arkansas against South Carolina, Vanderbilt, LSU, and Kentucky at Ole Miss. So we'll see how those games fare tonight in SEC men's basketball.
That we will. And as Mark was highlighting, no doubt about it, teams right now are looking for momentum and just the possibility, the opportunity to position themselves as good as possible for next week in Nashville, as well as maybe an outside shot at an NCAA tournament bid.
Yeah. And Tennessee and Georgia, the only two SEC teams not playing a midweek game this week.
Yeah, that's going to be weird. But we'll see how it goes tonight and then also what the schedule looks like tomorrow. But Jimmy Hyams, thank you very much.
John, thank you.
Sure do appreciate it. That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk.